Wicked Scientists with Chris Smith and Kat Arney. And today we're turning the lights down low in the quest for darkness. Recently, an increasing body of research suggests that light is one of the key mechanisms involved in how our body clocks are regulated. So having a light on signals to your brain, wakey wakey, and delays sleep hormones. Essentially, we're living in a permanent state of mini jet lag. But it's not just any light. The colour of the light is important. Norway's Mari Heising from Uni Health Research in Bergen studies the effects of blue light emitted from your computer screens, televisions and smartphones.
Many of these screens have quite bright light, and some of the blue light might impact your hormone production or the sleep hormone, so it actually sets your clock off a little bit. So in the same sense that being outside in the morning helps your sleep, having very bright light in the evening will probably delay your sleep pattern and making it harder for you to fall asleep at night.
With halogen street lamps increasingly being replaced by LED lights, which emit a lot of blue light, this is a cause for concern, especially if you happen to have one of those lights shining through your bedroom window. This is because the blue light can disrupt your circadian rhythm, or body clock, as Dr. John O'Neill from the MRC Laboratory for Molecular Biology has argued on the show previously.
We know that circadian disruption, as occurs during shift work, for example, is really bad for you in the long term. So there's a very strong association with chronic diseases such as diabetes, neurodegenerative disorders.
Breast cancer.
Exactly, yeah. Load of different cancers.
But this is referring to people who can, if they wish, shut out the light with curtains or blinds, or they just turn off the phone or the computer. But what about those individuals who can't? I'm referring, of course, to nocturnal animals that have spent millions of years evolving to live in the dark, and they're now confronted with light 24/7. What could be the cost to them?
Bob Meisen is the coordinator of the British Astronomical Association's Commission for Dark Skies, and he joins us now from Bournemouth. So, Bob, we've just heard a little bit about how light at night can be harmful for humans. Is this the same for animals?
Verlin Klinkenberg in the National Geographic a few years ago said that we've invaded the night as if it were an unoccupied country, when in fact nothing can be further from the truth. Every creature almost in the world has evolved for millions of years to have a day and a night, and if we give them a day and a day, they're certainly not going to thrive.
What sort of animals and how are they affected by this light at night?
Well, most species in the world are nocturnal. It's a very good predator avoidance strategy, of course, being in the dark. And the bats and the moths, owls, these are the ones that come to mind because they're the ones we tend to see. Fish, for example, are pretty thrown by light on their water when it's supposed to be night time. There was a famous case about 10 years ago in Stonehaven in Scotland when anglers were very put out that the fish were not rising to feed at night because the local tennis club was floodlighting their water. And the fish's feeding, foraging habits were completely disrupted. Perhaps they starved, I don't know.
I could see that would be a problem. And one of the animals we do think about a lot as coming out at night is bats. But there are impacts on birds as well as other flying species at night. What are some of the impacts on them?
Yes, I mean, most birds, we know a few nocturnal species, but most birds are diurnal. When they migrate, they very often fly very long distances. This goes into the night. Some American cities and Canadian cities are now turning off lights in tall buildings because birds, for reasons still not clear, will fly straight into lit windows. It's the Fatal Light Awareness Program, otherwise known as FLAP, in Canada and America, which highlights this problem. And they show on the internet, you can find pictures of literally thousands of birds that have died overnight hitting tall buildings. This is a problem indeed. Birds migrate partly by using the light cues of the stars and the moon, and we really shouldn't try to overpower those cues by shining mostly unnecessary lights. I mean, look at Canary Wharf at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do all those lights really need to be on?
I think that is an issue. What sort of cost is it to the economy and also to the environment from keeping all these lights on all the time when maybe they don't need to be?
I've trawled through many a website trying to find the cost of light pollution, and there are almost as many estimates as there are websites. But let me give you one example. There is a website from, I think it's the Slovenian Dark Sky Association, And they claim that Europe as a whole spends 7 billion euros, that's not million, that's billion euros, every year lighting up the night sky.
Wow. And presumably that's a huge amount of wasted carbon dioxide as well.
Just it is. I mean, you know, people say, oh, astronomers moaning about light pollution. But it's everybody's problem because it's your council tax being thrown away. It's money and energy that we really can't afford.
So with the Commission for Dark Skies, what are you actually asking for? Should we just switch everything off at night
and go back
to completely living in the dark?
Absolutely not. No, we're not crazy. We don't want people to live in medieval darkness. We want star quality lighting. We just want lights to shine where they're needed. I took a photo today of the latest new light on the wall of my community centre here in Dorset. It's a typical modern wall-mounted LED floodlight. It cannot be pointed downwards. It shines sideways into neighbouring houses. It shines into the night sky. It dazzles oncoming drivers and people walking to the centre. It's an anti-light. Instead of revealing, it conceals. You know, this is absolutely poor lighting at its very worst.
If you're campaigning for better lights and more sensible lighting, have you had any successes so far? Are you actually getting this message through?
Yes. I mean, the Commission for Dark Skies has been in existence now for 25 years, and we've had quite a lot of success talking to the Highways Agency, for example. Since the mid-90s, they will not put in a road light on a main road that shines upwards, which is good. Nearly all the new LEDs. Only problem is they're mostly too bright for the job and they're very blue. And as we've heard, blue is not good if you live near a light.
Well, there's certainly hope for darker skies in the future. Thank you very much. That's
Thank
Bob
you.
Meisen from the British Astronomical Association.
As Bob has pointed out, there are many reasons to be stopping excess lighting, and there have been some successes. But is it feasible to roll this out over large areas? Well, one community that reclaimed their night sky recently is in the South Downs, and Graham Jackson went to investigate.